overstepped your line again, Bob. It is the Creator's highest law that keeps you in your dark place, and yet you and your brethren still insist on coming into this world to try and steal a place in the world of the living. When will you ever learn?
Welcome to episode 41. Is that what we are? The GoPro Scorecast?
Yeah, it must be.
I forgot to mention this last week. Oh, I'll mention this all in a minute. It's Dangerous Jamie here. Joining me, as always, is the Liz Lemon to my Jack Donaghy.
Oh, I like that. I like that. Yeah, we can keep that.
Can we?
Yeah. That's better than sidekick, and it's better than hero support, too.
Okay, good. It's Sarah. Hi, Sarah.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm pretty good, thanks. Despite the crippling hangover this morning.
I mean, you sound okay now. I mean, it is like 3 p.m, so
yeah.
One would hope that you would.
It's shifted now, don't worry.
That's good. I'm glad. Glad to hear
How
it.
Are you?
I'm okay. Yeah. Today I bought some stuff for Poppy's second birthday. And that's about it.
Rock and roll.
I know. I don't want to say what it is because I've been trying to keep it a secret from Laura, and she might listen to this. I don't think she does, but she might one day before Saturday. But whatever. Stuff that we need to mention. Two things. Last week I forgot to mention that we had a rad new theme tune. I'm guessing you noticed, but it's rad and it's new, and it was put together by my friend and housemate Andy, who's from the band Leagues Apart, who you can find on the internet. If you Google Leagues Apart music or go to facebook.com and then search for Leagues Apart, they're a punk band, and they're good. I'm wearing their t-shirt right now.
Excellent stuff. I'm a big fan of the theme tune. It sounds all synthy and 8-bit game
yeah,
style.
When he first played it to me, it was like 4 in the morning and I was really drunk and I was like, dude, that is the fucking greatest. but I love it, yeah. And that's and also we've got a new sort of image. I don't know what we'd call it, like a design, I guess.
It's sort of a logo.
Yeah, it's kind of like a logo-y, header-y type deal. Yeah. So if you're listening to this on iTunes, you can see that on our Facebook page or on our on goldpress.com. And you should go and like the Facebook page anyway if you're on either of those things.
Absolutely.
I think that covers everything that we need to get. Oh fuck! to get started, doesn't it?
Yeah. Did you get stuck then?
I think I got scratched or something. And I was just on a loop.
Well, you are a cyborg. It's understandable. These things happen.
I'm like a vinyl cyborg now, apparently.
You are, yeah. That's strange. Anyway. Yeah.
Well, we're covering as part of New French Extremity Month. It's Inside or she's French.
I've never heard it called that.
But before we get to that, let's do as we always do. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about what we've been watching. Now, you've had a sort of quiet few weeks. Have you managed to squeeze a few more in this week?
A few more, yeah. It's mainly been rewatches rather than anything new, sadly. What have I watched?
Don't know. Tell me.
I watched. I think it's almost entirely been rewatches, actually. I watched The Day. That was a first-time watch. I reviewed that for the site, actually, so I won't say too much about it. But that was okay. Worth a watch, I guess. I rewatched Death Proof for, like, the bajillionth time.
How many is bajillion? Is it, like, more than a kabillion?
It's, like, 11, maybe. I don't know.
That doesn't sound as many when you say it like that, does it?
No, not nearly. Yeah, I do love that film a lot. I can't really tell you why, because I don't know. It's just I find it very, very watchable. I like it a lot. Rewatched Super 8, which is also brilliant.
It is, though, isn't it? I was a little bit underwhelmed the first time I saw it, but I think it's a grower.
Well, I think it was. It's another one of those where the advertising maybe missold it a little bit.
Yeah.
It was better than I thought it was going to be honest. It was just a different film than the one I was expecting. But yeah, it just reminded me of the sort of films that I loved as a kid, like you know, Monster Squad, The Goonies, The Gate, things like that. The sort of films they don't make now.
It was very much in that sort of Amblin sensibility.
Yeah, just with the, like, a movie for grown-ups, but where the kids are the protagonists.
Yeah, which is something we talked really about a lot.
We have.
It was a thing. It was a big thing in the 80s.
Yeah, and I thought it was just great. And what else did I watch? I watched a documentary called Dear Zachary.
Right.
Which I won't really go into because to tell you too much about it, if you ever watch it, it would totally ruin it. But it is one of the most depressing things I've ever seen in my life. It's a fantastic documentary, really well made. Perhaps not quite as objective as it should be.
What's it about? Yeah,
it's basically a documentary made by a guy whose best friend died, well, was murdered. And it's a video for his son, who was unborn at the time. And it's just one of the saddest things I've ever seen.
Yeah, it sounds like depression put on film.
Yeah, and I think I deserve some kind of medal for not crying, to be quite honest, because, yeah, I don't know many people who've got through it without crying.
Well, but, yeah. I'm really proud of you and your stony exterior.
Yeah, apparently I am dead inside, so there's that. And I think the only other thing is I rewatched The Loved Ones as well.
A lot of people have been watching The Loved Ones lately.
Have they?
Was it on telly or something?
No, I watched it on DVD.
Yeah, people keep talking to me about it as if I have an opinion beyond, yeah, it was alright.
It was out over here a lot sooner than it was out in the States, I think.
It only went
a year before.
Yeah, it only got released onto, like, whatever video on demand service it was. Excuse me. Fairly recently, like within the last 3 or 4 months.
Yeah.
So, I think that's been America's first chance to see it. I don't think it's out on DVD in America yet.
Okay, that's crazy.
Since it showed at, like, I think it was maybe Fantastic Fest or one of the film festivals they have over there. They have in that America. So, yeah. Maybe that's why.
Yeah, maybe. So yeah, that about covers it for me. What have you been watching?
Well, I watched Dead Hooker in a Trunk.
Oh yeah, of course you did.
There's a full review of that on the site, but I basically liked it. It was sort of like a fairly amateurish Tarantino film. Like Tarantino sort of came about and instantly had enough money to make quite good films.
Yeah.
And if you sort of started in a more DIY sense, or with a more sort of DIY sensibility, I think Dead Hooker in a Trunk is the sort of film that he would have made. I quite liked it.
Okay.
Have you seen it?
Yes.
What did you think?
I pretty much agreed with your review, to be honest. Mm. Yeah. A lot of potential.
Yeah, I mean, I liked it. I quite liked some of the characters. The acting was mostly okay for what it was.
Yeah.
It was a bit daft, but whatever. It was just, yeah, one of those retro flicks. I also watched The Tall Man, which has been dividing audiences everywhere.
Yeah, that's another one that you reviewed, isn't it?
Yeah, that's on the site as well. But, I mean, if you go read my review, I loved it.
Okay.
Really loved it. It's definitely been missold. It looks like people have been thinking it's like Slender Man the movie.
Mm.
Or Splendor Man the movie. people have been thinking that it's like Jeepers Creepers. But it's not like that at all. It's thinky, it's good, and the performances are great. And it's very, very similar to Martyrs without being the same as Martyrs.
Okay.
Because when you're Pascal Laugier, you can't just make Martyrs again. And it's, yeah, dead good. What else? I got bogged down in a lot of Andrew Dice Clay for a while.
Yeah, I spotted that.
So I watched a bunch of Andrew Dice Clay stand-ups, and I rewatched The Adventures of Ford Fairlane, which I fucking love. I think you would really like that film if you watched it. It's fucking hilarious.
What else?
Castle came back, and I've been watching a lot of Castle, and I still love it, even though it's gone a bit sort of later seasons moonlighting.
Oh no.
Yeah. I don't want to spoil it, but that will they, won't they tension isn't there anymore.
You don't want to spoil it, but...
I mean, it's kind of the crux of the show, so, like, the fact that it's not there...
Yeah.
But, I mean, the characters are there, the writing's still great, it's formulaic as fuck, but... whatever. Okay. What else? Passion of Darkly Noon, I watched that, and I friggin' loved it. Loved it so much.
It's one that I've owned and not watched. I've had it for ages. But, yeah.
You should watch it, it's beautiful.
It's Philip Ridley, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's a sort of dreamy Sunday afternoon film. For
how does it compare to The Reflecting Skin?
It's definitely the best Philip Ridley film that I've seen.
Okay.
I mean, I've seen all three of his films, so it's the best. It's
awesome.
Beautiful. It's haunting. It's sort of fairly tame, but then it goes in a really weird direction. It's really arty, like artier than say The Reflecting Skin.
Mm-hmm.
And way, way artier than Heartless, which was essentially a fairly straightforward film. What else? There's only a few more. Inbred, the Alex Chandon film from last year, I think. It showed at Fright Fest last year. Starring that the white-haired guy from... oh, what's it called? Where Paddy Considine's killing everyone.
Dead Man's Shoes.
Yeah, the white-haired guy from that is sort of the main antagonist. And it was, like, there were some fun moments, but for the most part, it was pretty fucking shit. So, yeah, that's that. Dave gave it quite a good review on the site, and that was what prompted me to watch it.
I find myself agreeing with Dave about 50% of the time, and quite strongly disagreeing with him the other 50%. So, yeah.
As a sort of side note to that, I read some bad reviews of it online, where sort of the writer and the director, Alex Chandon, and I don't remember what the writer's called, but they were sort of getting into it on the comments, and I always find that hilarious. So watch Inbred if you want, and then go read some of those reviews, because it's hilarious.
Okay.
And then, sort of, finally, I did a double bill of Bobcat Goldthwait's latest two films.
Of course you did, yeah.
God Bless America and World's Greatest Dad, which neither of which I'd seen.
And?
So, I didn't want to watch the trailers beforehand, but I found myself watching the trailer for God Bless America immediately before I watched it. And it just sort of looked almost identical to Super.
It's not, though.
In the trailer. No, it's not. I mean, it's got quite a similar storyline, I guess.
There's some parallels you can draw, obviously. Like,
yeah, there's the sort of young ward girl who's all about that stuff. And then, but it's fucking violent. And what really struck me about it, there's obviously you're supposed to sort of... your hero... shoots a baby in the first scene, and that's a difficult thing to sort of reconcile yourself with. But the thing that really struck me about it was just how flippant it was with all its violence. Obviously, that's part of what it's commenting on, as well as like, as what it is. It's sort of like a parody that becomes, by definition, the thing that it is parodying by being that parody. And it's really fucking good. It's a lot of fun. It's violent. It sort of shines a light on some of the stuff that really annoys me. I definitely high-five people all the time, and I don't deserve to die. I think I found myself... a lot of the stuff that the young girl was saying was bad. I found myself saying, wait, no, I do that all the time.
I thought some of the dialogue was pretty good, though. Like, the back and forth that they had was pretty well done.
Yeah. I mean, as Bobcat Goldthwait as a director, I'm not sure, is very much sort of, here's a shot, do what you want with it.
Yeah,
and that's sort of that plays through in all the films of his that I've seen.
It's Kevin Smith style directing, just point and shoot.
Yeah.
Perfunctory. Yeah.
Like, I agree with that. Even as far back as Shakes the Clown, which I fucking love. World's Greatest Dad, I did not see the inciting incident of that film coming, and maybe I should have, because it's probably a bit more obvious than I expected, but I was so sort of swept up in the characters.
Yeah.
That I was just like, oh, shit.
Well, what did you think? Did you like it?
Yeah, I really did. I liked it a lot.
Good.
It was, I don't know, I thought the ending was a bit, I don't know, something.
A bit something.
Like,
you might have to be more specific than that.
Yeah, I might. I thought the ending was a bit like...
Do you think it was a cop-out?
Not a cop-out. I mean, it had to happen. The ending has to happen the way that it happens. But, like, the sort of overt symbolism in what he does sort of just after the ending, I thought was a bit lame. But without getting into spoiler territory, probably about as much as I can say.
Yeah, I'd say so.
But yeah, it was a bit too, like, oof. We're going to go on a break in a sec, so we could talk about that a little bit then.
Okay. I do absolutely love that film, though. I must have seen that, I don't know, like a bajillion times.
Nice, 11.
At least you know what it means now. But yeah, and I normally hate Robin Williams. I find him really, really irritating, but he was perfect in that role.
Yeah, he was great. And it wasn't a very... Robin Williams normally gives this very sort of Robin Williams performance.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that at all. It was very much...
It was him out of his comfort zone, maybe.
Yeah. I read a little bit about it where he was like... He was meant to just sort of play one of the other faculty members in a maybe an extended cameo role.
Yeah.
But he loved the script so much, he was like, I want to do this.
I'm glad he did.
Yeah, me too. There were a few stylistic choices that I wasn't particularly happy with. I mean, the first half is paced really slowly. I spent most of the first half just wishing it would get on with it. And then when it did, I was like, oh, fuck, why did this have to happen?
Careful what you wish for.
Exactly. I think that's a deliberate choice, though.
Yeah.
I thought it was brilliant. I rated both those films 3.5 out of 5 on my Letterboxd. So
I'd give them both higher, I think.
I mean, that's 7 out of 10s.
I might have been tempted to go to 8.
But for both?
Uh-huh.
How fair it is.
World's Greatest Dad more so than God Bless America.
It's more of an 8 than the other 8.
Yeah. 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 That's exactly what I meant.
Okay. If that's everything we've got to talk about, is there anything new on the site that we should sort of push?
Let's have a look. Just the usual, really. There's some new reviews. We've got a new reviewer coming on board, in fact.
Yeah, we do. Ben.
Yes.
I don't know what his last name is. Or I do, but I don't know how to
Ben
say
Gonsalves.
It.
And yeah, he's done a review for Versus, so I'm gonna get that on the site pretty soon.
Right.
So that should be pretty cool, yeah.
And the only other new review we've got there is Christmas Evil.
Yeah. Yeah, because you were quite prolific for like a day, and then.
It was a good day.
Yeah, very productive day.
There's no new competitions. Yeah, that's
not at
fine.
The moment. Yeah.
Cool. Right, we'll take a break and we're going to come back and we're going to talk about Inside, or as it's known to the French, there.
Yep, that one.
Back after this.
If you fancy dropping us a line at the Gore Press Gorecast, there's a number of different ways you can do that. You can send all your competition entries, feedback and comments to podcast@gorepress.com. If you're on Facebook, you can find us at facebook.com/gorecast. Or if you're on Twitter, you can follow us at GorecastX.
For lovers of horror to come together and celebrate the importance of fear in film, art, literature, comics, and history, Monster Island Resort is the perfect online audio vacation spot. And now, you too can do the Transylvania twist with a new segment of Monster Music, hosted by Strange Jason of the Great 6 Foot Plus and Gravediggers Local 16. If you love classic monsters, kaiju, science gone wrong, slashers, and more, then join your host, Miguel Rodriguez, on Monster Island Resort, the online radio show that goes bump in the night. Listen on monsterislandresort.org, iTunes, or Stitcher Radio.
Hi guys, we're back and we're talking about Inside or Island from 2007.
It's changing every time.
I'm getting slightly closer to the actual title, but it's, I don't know how to pronounce that word. Interior. That makes sense, like interior. Yeah, I get it.
you know, like inside. Oh dear.
Whatever. It's 2007 French horror, obviously French Extremity Month. Directed by Alejandre Bustillo, which isn't a very French name, and Julien Maury, written by Alejandre Bustillo. Starring Alison Paradis, Beatrice Dahl, and that's about it. No one else really matters, do they?
No. That's all you need to know.
Pretty much is. So, give us what the DVD tells us.
I can do that.
Do it. Which DVD have you got? Is it the same one as mine?
It's the Region 2 Momentum.
Yeah.
One. I think there's only one in this country, isn't there?
Yeah. Sure.
Is it Dimension?
There's a Dimension Extreme one, but
that's
I don't know if that's
the
Region 1 or if that's...
I think that's Region 1, yeah.
Yeah, well, it says I'm rating on it, and that's not really a thing over here, is it?
No. Okie doke. So, 4 months after pregnant Sarah loses her husband in a horrific car accident, she is visited on Christmas Eve by a mysterious madwoman. Alone and desperate to save her unborn child, Sarah fights to stay alive as each of her potential rescuers die at the woman's sadistic hands. With scene after scene of shocking carnage, Inside delivers unbelievably realistic gore that dares you not to look away.
I mean, does it?
Some of it.
I thought most of the gore, at least a lot of like the gore makeup, looked like fairly good Halloween stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty clear this film was shot on a very low budget.
Mm.
I wouldn't want to speculate as to what that budget was. $3 million American dollars, according to IMDb. But that's not necessarily true. Yeah, I thought some of the gore just looked like good amateurs rather than like actual good gore. Some of it was really fucking good.
Some of it was great. Yeah.
Yeah. But, like, the bits where it didn't look so great. And also the fucking CGI baby. Get that out of there.
That was horrific, yeah. No, I didn't like that either.
Like,
It was just really jarring because it didn't look like anything else in the movie.
Yeah, it looked like Mac and Me or something.
I love Mac and Me.
No, you don't. You don't love Mac and Me. You might think that you do, but you don't.
I do. I remember going to see it at the cinema. And there's that bit at the end where it says, I'll be back. So I was, like, hoping for a sequel all these years.
Ugh. And this is the last ever Gore Fest podcast. I no longer can reconcile your opinion to myself. Jesus, Mac and Me. It's fucking awful.
It's an hour and a half McDonald's and Coca-Cola advert.
It sure is. I would much rather play Mick and Mac Global Gladiators, which is a Mega Drive game that's basically a McDonald's advert, than watch Mac and Me for 90 minutes. And Mick and Mac lasts way longer than that. And you're, like, jumping on fries and stuff.
Both sound great to me, to be honest.
I mean,
except now I want McDonald's. It worked.
I had McDonald's already this morning.
Well,
so I can't comment on anything, really, can I?
I had breakfast pizza.
Oh, nice.
So there you go, yeah.
Oh.
But anyway, this French film, yeah?
Oh, yeah. I think it's called Le Mac on Me. That wouldn't be what it was called. Le Mac Aim Me. Yeah, that one.
Moi, you mean?
Yeah. Sorry. I'm not good at France talk.
You're not, are you? Wow.
Oh, it's all gone wrong.
It's really quickly. Anyway.
Right. So, inside.
Yeah.
The whole film sort of hinges on two performances, basically.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if I liked either performances.
Oh, why?
I don't know. Maybe because the writing was not great.
Sorry.
What?
I'm still thinking about Mac and Me.
You need to stop. Ugh.
Sorry.
I mean, we're not covering Martyrs this month, which was a sort of conscious decision on our part, yeah. Because I really love it and you never want to watch it ever again.
I'd rather not.
I find myself watching Martyrs, like, fairly regularly, once every couple of months, I think. Really genuinely love
Why?
It. I think it's brilliant.
Because we probably should spend a bit of time talking about it. Should give it an honourable mention, even though we're not covering it, I guess.
I just think it's like brutality in cinema at its peak. It's violent and it's horrible, but it's got a message, and it's also kind of fun in places, and then kind of horrible in others.
Fun?
In the beginning. Right, when Lucy bursts into that house and just starts, like, wasting people with a shotgun.
I guess.
There's an element of fun in that.
Hmm.
Because you're rooting for that character. And even though you're like, what the fuck's going on? I think at the back of your mind, you know what's happening. And you understand why this thing's happening.
Hmm.
And so I think that really works and it's really fun. It sort of slows down a lot in the latter half. I don't want to go too spoilery with it because we're not doing a proper review.
Mm-hmm.
But it slows down a lot in the latter half. But the core thing about Martyrs is it's got something to say.
Yeah.
Which, what I was sort of getting at when I was sort of brought it up was that Inside doesn't necessarily have anything to say.
No, it's not a message movie.
It's definitely not a message movie. And I think Inside is probably something that doesn't really exist in the genre, or maybe doesn't exist as much as it should. It's a pure horror film.
Yeah.
It's a film of horror, like...
It's relentless.
It is relentless. And it doesn't get bogged down in a message, and it doesn't try and tell you anything. It's just, this is horror. And it's not fun at all. And I think it probably suffers for that.
Maybe a little bit.
Well, at least to me, because I'm so used to my horror films being a bit fun or having something to say. Or
I guess so, yeah.
Having some sort of point to it in which you can enjoy it. Even like films like Irreversible or Men Behind the Sun and like stuff that's really fucking horrible and like unrelenting, there's still something you can take away from it, which is more than just, here's a bunch of horrible shit, now fuck off.
Yeah.
Like, and that's essentially what Inside is. And it's pretty well done horrible shit. And it's tense.
And, very.
The performances are good, but I don't know if I like them. I think that's what I was getting at earlier as well. It's very much...
But what didn't you like about them? Because I thought Beatrice Dow was pretty fucking awesome.
Well, it was just a bit showy and a bit, like, over the top. And, like, it's a
sort of... I didn't think so.
It's a sort of... The sort of performance that if it was a male role in an American film, you would get, like, Willem Dafoe.
But it's not. It's a female role in a French film, so that doesn't matter.
But they get whatever the female French equivalent of Willem Dafoe is.
Beatrice Dow, apparently.
Exactly. That's the role that she's playing. It's the sort of, I'm ugly, so I'm the baddie. Or I'm sort of, not necessarily ugly, but like, I'm unattractive and yet sort of vaguely sexual.
That's one way of putting it, yeah.
And that's definitely a role that that Willem Dafoe gets a lot.
Yeah.
Because he's a horrible, ugly man. But he's always in this sort of, not always, but like often in these sort of sexual roles, like in Antichrist.
Oh, God, Lord, yeah. that's not something I ever cared to see.
Oh, I love Antichrist.
I know you do.
I think it's brilliant. Brilliant. Anyway, so, yeah. And I just thought the performance was a bit like, yeah, unnecessary.
Oh, I thought she was great. She was creepy as fuck.
I mean, she was creepy as fuck. And I guess that's what the role required. And so maybe she was okay. Maybe she was quite good then. Maybe I'm just being picky. I mean,
the whole film was pretty terrifying for the specific reason that this sort of shit has happened.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like there's some kind of supernatural force or, you know, it's not too fantastical. It has happened, and it will probably happen again. That to me is pretty terrifying. That there are people like that who might do that.
Yeah. I think why it works, as well as like the fact that like stuff like that does and has happened, is we joke a lot about sort of writing comedy horror scripts, like mm-hmm. me and you and the rest of the Gore Press posse, which is what we're now referring ourselves as.
Okay.
But I think if I was to write horror films, if I was to get a horror film made, it would be much more of like an internal horror film like this is.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Internal. See what you did there.
Well, yeah. I'm a funny guy. It's all one location, and that generally works quite well because it sort of instantly creates this claustrophobia.
Yeah, it's more immersive.
Like, yeah.
More immediacy, I guess. Like, is that the right word? I don't know.
Yeah, definitely. Like, there's two people. They're in a house. One's running away. One's chasing them. It makes it immediate.
Yeah.
Also, like the fact that all the horror really is focused on one person. Even when horrible stuff happens to a different character, it's all about how Sarah feels. That's her name. I'm not just like attributing that to you.
No,
It's all about you, Sarah. It's all about how you feel.
I know that.
So, like, yeah, so everything's all about how it affects this character, and the rest of it is essentially window dressing.
Yeah.
And I think that's the real strength of this film, is how effectively, even though I'm a 27-year-old male and I've never been pregnant and probably never will be.
Probably.
I mean, I've seen Junior. We live in the future now. Anything can happen.
All right.
But, yeah. It's probably never going to happen, to me, at least.
No.
So, but I found myself really inside, Sarah's head, and, like, feeling the same things that she felt.
Yeah.
Or
no,
she may have felt.
Massively agree with that.
Yeah.
They definitely do that very well.
And that's the strength of the film. The weakness of the film, there's some really fucking terrible, terrible choices that the characters make. Awful choices. Just hideous.
Should we get into spoilers then?
I mean, we can do.
Let's get into spoiler territory.
Go on.
What do you think are the worst decisions that they made then?
Off the top of my head, I think the worst decision in the film, from the filmmaker's point of view, is why the fuck is there a zombie in it?
There isn't a zombie in it.
So, the zombie 28 Days Later cop, who like comes back from the dead and starts 28 Days Later in all over everyone.
The brain-damaged one, who was shot at point-blank range, you mean?
Yeah. He is, for all intents and purposes...
He's not a zombie.
28 days later, no. Age-infected monkey zombie.
No.
Give me what another. What is he then?
He's a half-dead, brain-damaged dude.
That runs at people, attacking them.
Yeah.
With red eyes.
He wasn't a zombie. Give me another one.
I don't know. The fact that Sarah couldn't tell her mum's voice coming up the stairs. Stabs her in the neck.
I guess, but if you're that panicked, if that had happened to you and you weren't thinking straight...
Well, I'm not saying that it's not an understandable bad decision, but it's still a bad decision.
Potentially, but that is sort of...
Yeah, I guess
a fairly heartbreaking moment.
Yeah, I guess. The whole why doesn't she just get the fuck out of the house deal? There's like a million cars
outside.
There's a million cars outside. When she goes downstairs and she's just hanging out in the front room and then she's like, I'm going to go back upstairs now. You can just cut my baby out. I'm fine with that.
I suppose.
Like this.
I'll give you that one at a stretch.
There's his car. There's her mum's car. There's the police car.
Yeah.
All outside with the keys in them. At least one of them's got the keys.
Yeah. Maybe she's got a massive phobia of cars.
Well, maybe. She's also a massive dick. She's a horrible tool of a character.
But you say that, but you've just said that you were able to sympathise with her and put yourself in her position.
In the horrible stuff. But like before that stuff happened, I was just like, why are you such a tool?
I wouldn't go that far. I agree that she makes some pretty poor decisions at times, but doesn't everyone in a horror movie?
I mean, they do. Apart from in them, apparently. But, she was just a horrible person, like, at the start of the film. And I know, like, a big traumatic thing happened and blah, 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 but Jesus. It'd be nice to someone for a change.
I want to know why she was using a DSLR camera, but then developing photos. Because that's not a thing that can happen.
Maybe she wasn't. I don't know.
I guess a bit of oversight, and it bugged me.
Well, yeah.
And also, the poor cat. I fucking knew it. Like, obviously... Horror films do this a lot. Certain things are telegraphed. Like, as soon as I saw the knitting needles, I was like, right, well, they're coming back. And then there was loads of shots of the cat, and I was like, oh, well, the cat's a goner, clearly. But it happened, and then, oh, poor cat.
It did happen. But it happened to a fairly bad bit of black fabric rather than to an actual cat.
Yeah, okay, it didn't look super realistic. But still, yeah, I don't like that.
Yeah.
So that lost a point from me.
Oh. I think it's just to show...
That almost sounded sincere.
I think it's just to show how much of an horrible bastard Le Fan is.
Yeah, I know why it was there. I know why it was there.
Yeah.
So.
Right, I've got a question for you.
Okay.
I'd heard some things, I've had some conversations with people, read some things online, and some people are under the impression that Le Femme, which is British Dahl's character, isn't real. What's your opinion on that?
I hadn't actually thought about it like that.
I mean, I think
I think she is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they might be reading a bit too much into that. They might be coming up with theories based on very little. That didn't even cross my mind. I think she was there.
Yeah. I think the reason that people think that is that she was in a car crash and she was pregnant, and she sort of explains that, and they do the flashback and it shows her crash into her.
Yeah.
And I guess the odds on two pregnant ladies crashing into each other are pretty slim.
I guess so. But then it's not a film about everyday occurrences, is it?
No, it's true. I mean, the thing that I was waiting for the first time that I watched the film was the bit where you find out that Sarah's really the baddie, and everything that Le Femme is doing is kind of justified, or an extreme version of what she could ostensibly justify to herself.
Yeah.
And that doesn't really come. It's just, oh, you killed my baby when we crashed, but you also lost your husband, so we're kind of even, I guess. But we're not, because I want your baby, Giz, now.
I missed that bit of dialogue.
That was the most powerful bit.
Giz.
Giz your bebe.
Good lord. Oh, God. Can you do me for mischief?
But then I thought about it and thought, well, maybe we don't know when the car accident with Sarah took place, but then we do, because she's pregnant, so
yeah,
it must be within the last 9 months.
But sort of, it's a quite a tenuous segue, but on the subject of the dialogue, there wasn't a whole lot of it.
Well, that seems to be a very French thing, doesn't it? Like, it's the same with Martyrs, the same with Them or Eels, as we watched last week.
But I think that was a real strength.
Yeah.
I think if it had been overly talky, it wouldn't have had half the impact that it does, maybe. And enough is explained that it's... Maybe satisfying ending is the wrong way of putting it, but... You know, you get your closure.
Yeah.
Just enough is said without it being too bloated by needless dialogue.
Can we talk about the actual end? This is like... We've done spoilers, like, peppered through the show, but this is, like, full-on spoiler.
Yeah.
Why does she just give up at the end?
When?
When she lets her take the baby out of her.
Well, let.
She's like, the baby's come in, I'm going to lie back now, and you can just scissor up my...
Well, what choice did she have in that moment?
I don't know.
What the fuck could she have done?
Definitely seen people go into labour on telly and they're able to get themselves to the hospitals and all sorts.
Yeah, but they probably haven't been through what she had been through at that point in time.
But, I mean, at that point, the femme was fucked. She was lying on the kitchen floor, pantry floor or whatever, with half her face burned off.
Mm.
Like... She wasn't that much of a threat anymore. One simple, like, whack to the face and she'd have been gone. So, like, just sort of reclining back on the stairs and then letting her have it to the point where she just dies, it's a bit shitty.
Well, I don't know, everybody's got their breaking point. She probably just didn't have any fight left in her, I don't know. I didn't think that was a negative point.
I mean, I'm not sure if it's a negative point, but it was definitely something I was just like, well, I feel a bit like you fought all that time, and for all intents and purposes, you won. And then you're like, well, I won, I might as well just give up now. You have it. Go
but
on.
She hadn't.
I mean,
this is a pointless argument.
I feel like she had. At that point, Le Femme was done. She could have just had her, shot her. There was guns everywhere. Here's a stupid decision that I forgot.
Go on.
So, you're a cop, right?
Mm-hmm. I'm not.
No, you are. You're a French okay. cop, and you're also a man. You hear some gunshots. Your as your policeman brain, as through all the training that it's been through, it doesn't go, I'm going to call for backup and then go inside. It's, I'm not going to call for backup, and I'm going to take someone who is not a police officer
into this. Yeah.
Essentially handcuffed to me to where I just heard two gunshots. And then I'm going to give him a projectile weapon, despite the fact that he's a criminal. I've been insulting him for quite a long time. I'm going to give him a projectile weapon because, you know, I'm a generous guy.
No, I'm with you there.
That's definitely a stupid decision.
Yeah, that makes no sense.
Let me just check my notes and make sure there's nothing else I want to add. Oh, here's a thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a thing about the film, really. It's about... Well, it is, but not really. I got the impression... it felt to me very sort of Japanese or Chinese. Like, there's a lot of, like, Japanese influence in the film. Like, the spray gore was one thing, but also, like, the way it was plotted felt very Japanese to me.
Yeah.
Like, there was a lot of that sort of influence over it, I would say.
I would agree with that. Again, that's not something that had necessarily occurred to me while I was watching, but I would agree with that.
Yeah. It was the spray gore on the sort of mum kill that made me think of it, but...
Yeah.
But, sort of, as the film as a whole, it sort of seems to have that very sort of Japanese quality to it. Well, in fact, quite similar in a lot of ways to Audition or maybe another Miike film. I'm generally thinking and in terms of, like, Miike.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree.
Yeah. Just notes. No, I think that's about it. It's short. Do you want to do your thing?
Yeah, there was just one more thing that I wanted to mention, and that was the... I quite liked the fact that there was almost a total lack of soundtrack. There was some incidental music. Did it? Because I loved it. I thought some of it was really goddamn effective. Like, most of the... Because some of the gore, obviously, was pretty wince-inducing, even when it wasn't perhaps spectacularly well done.
Yeah.
I thought half of that were the sound effects over it. That really sort of... I don't know. It got to me. Like, without the sound effects, I don't think it would have been nearly as wince-inducing. And I think some of it was really quite clever. Like, there was, at one point, there were noises that almost sounded like a sort of an electronic version of a crying baby.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I like it when films don't have to necessarily rely on a soundtrack to guide your emotions. And I just think that was particularly well done in this.
Maybe. I think generally I take issue with those sort of pulse scores. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the sort of ominous noises rather than like a score.
Mm.
And generally that sort of thing just kind of annoys me. I mean, it is generally pretty effective, but I think it's also kind of lazy. Maybe not lazy.
I guess.
But I don't think lazy is the right word. Maybe a bit... I don't know what the best word I can use is. Not lazy, but easy.
I suppose.
And so that's the sort of problem.
I don't know, to be honest. I've never tried scoring a film, so I couldn't really comment on that.
Me neither. But
I just think it was pretty well done.
Yeah. Well, I could agree. It definitely didn't hurt.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes it was a little bit high in the mix as well, which I don't know if I was happy with that. Because if it was generally a sort of a tonal pulse score, doesn't bother me because it's just there and you can't really hear it. It's just sort of influencing you from, like, behind the curtain.
Yeah.
But in this, it was sort of front and centre. It was, like, up there with the gore.
Yeah.
It's like, this is the film. Everything else is a side note or whatever.
Yeah.
What else was I going to say? I was going to say something then. Oh, the opening credits reminded me...
Of Frontiers. No, not the credits. But didn't it start almost the same way? Because that's what it made me think of, like with the pregnant girl talking to the baby and...
Yeah.
That's well, it.
It seemed to be set in like the same world as Frontiers. Like the same, maybe the same day or whatever, because there's all these sort of French riots.
Yeah.
So
they were going on about suburban violence and stuff, weren't they?
Yeah. So it seems to be set in the same world as Frontiers. Maybe that's just France. I have no idea.
Yeah, maybe it's really shit. Who knows?
Like, I don't really know. Like, French news doesn't really make it over here.
Not so much.
Unless, like, something hilarious happens, in which case we might see some about it on, like, the Daily What. But we don't generally get French news over here, despite the fact that it's probably the nearest country to us. Yeah. But what I was going to say was the opening credits were terrible, for one, but only, like, terrible by now standards. It reminded me of, like, the sort of credits you would get or that you might get for a sort of supernatural-based television series in the 90s.
I guess so, yeah.
Like, it was very sort of X-Files-y, but, like, low-rent X-Files. Like, what was the other one? Psi-Factor, whatever it was called.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. Like, that sort of thing.
Yeah, they weren't great.
Yeah. So that's that. Do your sum up, Sarah. Go on, do it.
I really quite liked it. I didn't expect to. I had been told by so many people. Like, I had seen some of it before. I don't know why I hadn't seen all of it, but I'd definitely seen some of it before. But I'd been told by so many people that it was just horrifically gory and, like, oh, you'll want to look away all the time. And it is in places, but I think I built it up so much that the actual film wasn't as bad as I was expecting.
Yeah.
Like, some of it's pretty bad. But yeah, wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. Still would never, ever watch it again on a hangover.
Yeah, that's probably for the best.
That was a bad decision. No, I really liked it. I disagree with a lot of what you said. I thought the acting was pretty great from both of them. I enjoyed the performances. I enjoyed the story, flimsy as it was.
Let me just say, it's not the acting I have a problem with, it's the performances. I think they're...
Well, that's why I said, yeah, but I enjoyed both. Like, I thought they were both pretty great. Yeah, most of the gore was well done, some of it not so much. They should have just got shot of all of the CGI baby stuff.
It's just, I don't see why it's there. Like,
I can sort of see, like, if they're trying to shock people or something, but it just looked so ridiculously obviously fake that it just really pulled me out of everything and didn't affect me in any way.
Like, I thought at the beginning, and then, do you know the first time they show it is like the first shot.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, you're in normal stuff, and it's like, oh shit, what's going on?
If that,
like,
had been it, that would have been fine.
Yeah, that had been fine.
Mm. But yeah, they should have left it there.
Yeah.
I thought it was great. The dialogue was kept to a minimum, but that's all they needed.
I think maybe there could have been less as well.
Yeah, maybe.
I think, like, sometimes they maybe over-explained a few bits.
Hmm. Maybe. But,
yeah, sorry, carry on.
Yeah. No, I thought it was great. I really enjoyed it, actually.
So, out of 10?
Like a solid 7.5.
Yeah, that is.
I don't think I'd quite go to an 8. But yeah, really liked it.
Fair dues. I mean,
it's my favourite this month so far.
That's a strong comment. Well, you didn't like Frontiers that much, did you?
No, I quite enjoyed it.
I don't remember.
I didn't love it.
3 weeks ago or something like that. Like I said at the top, it's very much a real horror film in terms of style, in terms of tone. There's no comedy at all.
No.
There's not even like the sort of awkward comic moments that you get in horror films that aren't meant to be funny. Mm. But there's just a bit of tension that's kind of funny. There's none of that. It's just dark as shit. And it's hard to enjoy in that way that a lot of French films are hard to enjoy.
Yeah.
Like Irreversible, Baisemoir.
We've discussed this a lot, though. Like, maybe enjoy is the wrong word.
Yeah.
But I thought it was pretty great.
I guess, yeah. But I mean, the point I'm trying to make is that people in France, or filmmakers in France, don't seem to care whether you enjoy their film or not. That's not what they're after. They want you to sort of feel their film.
Yeah.
Or like experience
just have some kind of reaction to it.
Yeah. And I guess that's why a lot of French films exist in this new French extremity genre. Because like more so than other filmmakers around the world, even like say Spanish or Mexican filmmakers, they're very much doing similar things, but even in the sort of Spanish ones or the sort of Southern American ones, they still have that slightly more American quality to it.
Yeah.
Which the French don't. Although,
I think there's definitely still like it. There's a huge place for it, though. It makes maybe not a nice change, but a refreshing change to like you were saying, the slew of sort of Hollywood produced, very American glossy looking. Horror.
Yeah, well, there's that whole thing now where every American horror film that's maybe costs less than 15 million, 10 million to produce, all looks exactly the fucking same.
Yeah.
Like, if you put on 5 minutes of Borderlands or 5 minutes of Cabin Fever 2, even though I love Cabin Fever 2, I quite liked Borderland, or, like, any of those sort of low budget American horror films that fill the shelves now, they're practically like impossible to tell the difference from just a short scene.
Because they're so dime a dozen.
They are, and they all have that same sort of filter, which I've called Sauravision. Like, it's just that we'll whack a filter on it, sort of amber filter. Everything looks sort of shitty and orange. And we'll just go about filming stuff and it'll be fine. Out of all the films we've watched this month, the visual of this film is the most American, I think. It's very much that sort of washed out grey palette, which, I mean, you see in French films, Martyrs is the same. Frontiers was a bit lighter. Then was a lot more grey, but sort of earth tones, but this, I think it's because it just seemed a bit cheaper than the rest of them.
Maybe, yeah.
That it just sort of comes across a bit like it's, well, let me try and put it a different way. When a French person does something well, like with Martyrs, when a French director does something well, again, we go back to Martyrs, it looks amazing. And then when someone does that but not as well, it's probably an American.
Yeah.
So when the sort of visual of this film doesn't look as good as, say, a Martyrs, it maybe feels more American to me because it's someone trying to do a similar thing and not managing it as well. Mm. And that sort of implies to me that sort of American sort of knockoff thing.
Yeah.
So there's that. But on the whole, it's fucking terrifying. Like I say, some of the gore's not great. Some of the gore's really great. CGI baby can fuck off.
Can't he just?
Yeah. And he does at the end. It's fine. So yeah, it's hard to watch, and it's unrelenting, and it's no fun, and there's nothing really to take away from it apart from don't be in car crashes, I guess.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I'm gonna give it. Go on. But sorry.
For every reason you've just listed there, that's what makes it great. The fact that it doesn't have a message. It's relentless. It's scary. It's, you know, it's a cool film.
It is. I mean, I'm not going to go as high as 7.5. I'm just going to go for a 7, straight 7.
Okay, that's still fairly high.
Yeah, it is. I was sort of toying with 6.5, but it's better than a 6.5.
Yeah.
It's not for everyone.
Oh, God, no. Definitely not.
You were saying in the break that they're doing an American remake of it, didn't you?
I read that somewhere, but I think there's been a problem with the rights to the film, so it's been held up. I don't know what the current situation is. It was bound to happen, wasn't it? And they're remaking Them in 2014.
I don't understand why they'd remake Them. Surely The Strangers did that plenty fine.
Yeah.
Even if you hate The Strangers, which I know you do.
I do.
It definitely is, for all intents and purposes, an American remake of Them.
Yeah, totally.
And I liked The Strangers, as we've discussed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it works well as a companion piece to Them, and also an American remake, without necessarily having to be an American remake.
Yeah.
There's only so many times you can tell the same story before people are like, well, I don't just care. I just don't care anymore. So yeah,
it's just so unnecessary. I can't believe they're remaking Troll Hunter. What the fuck?
Oh, but like the whole thing about Troll Hunter, which I've not seen yet, but surely the whole—I've got it on DVD, but I've just not got around to it yet.
Okay.
But I guess the whole thing is that it's set in a place where there's myths of trolls.
Yes, exactly.
Like, surely the idea of putting it somewhere else is just
redundant.
Yeah, absolutely nonsense.
Yeah. Yeah. Or they might just have it set in the same place, but with English-speaking actors, like they did with Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Well, that's fucking stupid.
That is the most redundant remake I've seen in a long time, because it's exactly the same, except they're speaking English. It's just for lazy people.
That's so crap. Like, maybe this isn't... I'm not suggesting that this is in any way a good idea, but if they sort of... No, there's no way I can do it.
No, I was thinking, just can't endorse it at all.
Yeah, maybe if they were to sort of change it to a sort of an American myth, but that won't work because there's all the sort of religious connotations that go along with the trolls. And so, yeah, absolute fucking gibberish.
Mm-hmm.
No. I don't know what an American remake of this would be like. I guess... Did I read? No. What did I read? Where the guys... The one of the...
I'm going to need complete sentences.
Okay. Let me lay it out for you like this.
Okay.
All the words in the right order and everything.
That'd be awesome.
Did I read... No, you're not going to know the answer to this. But I read somewhere that a remake of a film was being written by one of the guys that wrote Twilight. What was that?
I have no idea.
Let me Google it quickly.
That's not something I've read.
Twilight writer horror film remake. Not film, that's not a thing. A Twilight remake? What?
What? That can't be a thing.
Lionsgate plan on remaking Twilight.
What? You're kidding. What the fuck is wrong with Lionsgate? They're remaking Saw.
What?
They're remaking their own film.
That's I don't understand.
That I don't even think is 10 years old.
Oh, it was Martyrs. Okay. And Kristen Stewart's meant to be in it, isn't she?
Oh, I hope not.
I like Kristen Stewart.
I don't.
Oh, but she's good.
She's good in some stuff. She's good in The Runaways.
She's fucking brilliant in The Runaways.
She's okay in Adventureland.
I didn't like Adventureland at all.
I did. So yeah.
So yeah, it was Mars. Yeah, Inside is horrible and horrible and horrible.
It's some more horrible.
Yeah.
But also great.
I mean, yeah. It is. I'm finding it difficult to say it, even though I know it's true. Because it's just no fun. There's no fun to be had at all. And generally, or there's, because I'm not taking anything away from it. All I'm taking away is that I saw this horrible film. And so it makes me feel like I didn't enjoy it or didn't sort of connect with it in any way. But really, there's not anything to connect to. It's just, you go in, this is what happens, and then you leave. That's pretty much it. And so I'm finding it hard to say that it's good.
You don't. Nobody's going to make you say that it's good.
But I know it is good. This is what I'm saying. It's like, it is good, but it's hard for me to say it because, I don't know, there wasn't really a connection there.
Okay.
But I think that's deliberate.
So yeah,
that's this week's show, Inside, Into the Air. Next week, we'll be back with more of the same. But next week, we're covering 7 Days, which is a French-Canadian film.
Which is a bit cheaty.
Well, I think it was very much included in that, in the New French Extremity. I don't know. I just wanted to watch it. Soz.
That's fair enough.
And I'm sure it'll be horrible.
It sounds it. It sounds depressing as hell.
Yeah. But like,
can we do something fun next month?
Well, we're doing guest picks, aren't we?
Oh, of course we are, yeah.
We need to touch base on that. So, yeah, next week, 7 days. For now, but we're done. So we'll see you next week.
Yeah.
Cool, bye.
Bye.
Stay spooky. Well, I'm just a bag of guts and stuff, and I'm all bloody inside. A thin layer of skin is all that holds it in, and I'm all bloody inside. And if you see me, oh, don't wanna be me, no, you'd probably close your eyes. And inside me, well, it's dark and gross as hell. I'm not a pretty sight, 'cause I'm all bloody inside. I'm just a walking, talking bag of guts and stuff, and I'm all bloody inside. If you wanna get to know me, then I suggest you start on the outside, 'cause I'm sure that that's my good side. If you see me, oh, don't wanna be me, no, probably close your